Everything's wrong with the universe. Accepting change is hard. Everything's bad and it's getting worse, but not in my backyard.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Not In My Backyard. I'm Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd. How's everybody doing tonight? Thanks for spending your Thanksgiving Eve here with us.
Yeah.
Anybody getting on an airplane tomorrow? Anyone? No? We are.
We are.
We are. This
is the part of the show where I tell everybody that we are married.
Yes.
So just to let everyone know, as the show goes on, we have hooked up a few times.
Yep. We're married. We met here at the UCB Theater. We've been comedians here for a long time, and we also love politics.
Yeah.
I serve on the Transportation Planning Committee of Community Board 4, but my opinions tonight are not necessarily those of the Community Board.
And I serve on the Community Education Council for Manhattan's District 2, which is like the equivalent of the school board, but my opinions tonight have nothing to do with that, are not necessarily representative of the views I will have there.
But this is not in my backyard, so this is the show where we debate all of the issues that are causing drama in neighborhood Facebook groups all over New York City. We've got a great panelist, a great panel of people here tonight, some comedians. But first, we're going to quiz our audience. We have a very smart audience.
You guys are so smart. Every month, we're shocked and delighted at how smart you are.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we have 36 days left of Eric Adams as our mayor. Okay, I know we're going to be sorry to see him go.
I see some tears. I see a lot of tears. Everybody's very sad.
So the first pop quiz question, and you can raise your hand if you have an answer to it. Name the three countries that Eric Adams has traveled to in the last 3 months.
Not counties. Not counties. Not boroughs. Countries.
All three, Albania, Israel, and Uzbekistan. Very nice. Okay.
Not Turkey. Turkey was not on that list this month.
Bonus question. What percentage of New Yorkers identify as Albanian? Because Adams' staff has said, well, he's wants to meet, you know, the
his
cultural home of all New Yorkers. So what percentage? Just shout it out. Less than 1%? Yeah, that's right. 0.5.
0.5.
0.5. And what percentage... What percentage is Uzbek in our city? Jesse, are you Uzbek? No, okay. 0.3% is the answer. All right, very good.
Yeah, so constituent services, that's what he is doing on his last couple months in office. All right, next up, we're going to have a head-to-head quiz. So this is where we want to bring up two audience members to go head-to-head, and they do list-style questions until one of them gets out. We're going to give anyone who wants to a shot to do it, but just... Should we give them the question first so they can kind of know?
Yeah, there will be a prize for this, too.
Yeah.
The topic is, well, I'll give the question out. Don't shout out any answers, though.
Yeah, don't shout out
The
answers.
Iconic Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade will take place here in New York City tomorrow. There will be 34 parade balloons, including 5 brand new ones. Who thinks they can name the most balloons in the Macy's Parade?
Yeah.
Even if you've got 3 in your head, you might win the prize. So, all right, come on up.
Come on up.
Anybody else?
We need one more person.
We need another challenger.
Guys, you know, you can just guess. Really don't have to. Oh.
Right here? All right.
There. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. All right. What's your name?
Hi. My name is Ashley.
Hi,
Ashley. What's your name?
Dan.
Dan. And Dan has competed with us before, so beware. Okay. So we are going to, we'll start, is it Ashley?
Ashley, yeah.
Okay. We're going to start with Ashley.
So, okay. So Ashley, so you start, you name one, and then we'll go back and forth until someone gets out.
La Boo Boo.
That's one of the new ones.
Yes,
La Boo Boo. Okay.
Of the new ones.
Snoopy.
Snoopy is correct.
Classic.
I'm going to say Beagle Scout Snoopy is the answer.
Pikachu.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, Pikachu.
Pikachu.
Pikachu along with Eevee is correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. You seeing that on this list, Cody?
We should have put these in alphabetical order.
Yeah, Spider-Man is correct.
Spider-Man's
correct.
The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Macy's balloon.
We'll take that. Blue
the
and white
star.
Macy's stars.
Yeah, the star.
Yeah, we're going to take that.
Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam.
I
don't think
that
so.
That is, yeah, I think that's...
But don't.
I
I think Uncle Trump got rid of Uncle
Sam. Yeah, he said no to that.
Ashley, do you know any more?
Yes.
Do you know any of the new ones?
La Boo Boo.
La Boo Boo.
All right, let's give it up for Ashley. Here's
the
your
new
prize.
Ones this year are Buzz Lightyear, Derpy Tiger from K-pop, Demon Hunters, Mario, Pac-Man, and Shrek's Onion Carriage.
Haven't seen the Shrek franchise past the first one. Not sure what the onion carriage is. You're going to win 2 free tickets to our next show. So please just follow at NIMBY Show, NIMBY _ show on Instagram, mm-hmm. and send us a DM, and we'll take care of you. Let's give it up for Ashley and Dan. Very good.
I love the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's one of my favorite times of the year, actually, I have to say.
Other correct answers included Acorn, Bluey, Candy Cane, and about 20 more. All right, are you guys ready to meet our panel?
We have a really, really, really good panel this month. We're very excited to introduce them. All right, let's get our panel music up.
He is a filmmaker and improviser here at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. Please welcome Patrick Keane.
She is a stand-up comedian and the co-host of the Go Touch Grass podcast, Millie Tamarez.
He was a pioneer of blogging and advisor to the Obama White House and is probably all over your Blue Sky feed. Please welcome Anil Dash.
All right. Oh, my gosh. What a great panel. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Thank you for being here.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Here. What do you mean happy? You mean indigenous? I'm sorry. I'm starting already. Fucking mad.
We already celebrated Indigenous Peoples Day.
Oh, they only get one day? Yeah. We only get one day in Trump's America? I'm sorry. Let's start the show.
Wow. Just for our podcast listeners at home, the white man said we already had one day.
Wow.
Wow.
Don't let him fool you. Wrong. He's not Asian. Do not make the mistake I did. He is Asian passing, but not Asian. And he be playing into it, too.
Never once.
It was so ambiguous. I was convinced.
Yes, right? And then where did you grow up?
Where did I grow up?
Northern California.
Northern California.
There you go.
Capital of the states.
He's teasing. He's a tease.
I'm fully white. So just
all right, we've got everybody's race out of the way.
I just wanted to get it all out there. So we want to start off talking about SUV puppy mills. Can we get the first slide up? Reading from the New York Post, shady dog dealers are illegally selling puppies out of the trunk of a Mercedes SUV for thousands of dollars. At least two men were caught on video last month, brazenly hawking close to a dozen miniature and toy poodles in broad daylight in the Diamond District, despite the state banning dog sales and the city outlawing backyard breeding last year. Is this the best argument yet to ban street parking?
You wrote that.
I wrote that.
You
part
wrote
of the
that one. Let's all give it up for.
Because street parking is theft. But this is how insane is this?
You don't care about the dogs. It was the street parking that.
Were the dogs double parked?
They probably had a placard or an MTA vest on the dashboard, and that's how they were able to have their free real estate in New York City. But no, obviously this is sad to see puppies in the back of a vehicle, but I also, like, when I saw this, there is just something so New York about it. I mean, it's fucked up. Puppy mills are bad. We banned puppy mills, and this is not the loophole to get rid of pet store puppy mills, to have them in the back of cars. But just the cleverness of the New Yorker does impress me.
It's also different from the big trucks that take up our space that are for the adoptions, right?
Well,
we've been walking to the East Village and it's hard to walk through it because they're just taking up all the space and it's for adoptions. You know, there's
and you
difference.
Don't want the dogs to get adopted, right?
I don't want any dogs to be peddled for adoption or
why'd
shopping.
You look at me?
I looked at you.
Me?
Because
God
you
forbid.
Were trying to get us back there to pay for your dog.
I said hypothetically. Because we were talking about GoFundMes we wouldn't donate to. I said sorry.
You're about to out me as being a monster, but go ahead.
No, it's okay. No, I'm just saying that you said, like, your hard line is no dog GoFundMes. And I'm like, you're saying if my dog Valentino got sick,
you don't
got
to make it personal, though.
But the personal is political. The personal is political.
I will make an exception for you, Millie.
Cover Valentino's ears. All I'm saying is age limit for the dog GoFundMes. If the dog is teens, like 13, 14, no.
Does it depend on the type?
You don't, right?
Like a big dog, you know, has
We're getting on a slippery
lifespan.
Eugenic slope.
Yeah, is there an age limit for human GoFundMes?
Yeah.
If my grandmother, who's 89, has a GoFundMe,
like,
is
no,
that too old?
I'm not supporting it, yes. For sure.
Okay, I will say this one time. One time I had a really bad job. I used to work at Bleep This, WWE, and I Bleep That, and... you know, I was just sort of, I went on a multi-day, because I used to ride Revel in New York City. Remember, I'm fucking crazy. So I would ride the mopeds. So I said, I can ride motorcycles for 5 days in the mountains of Colombia. And I did that. And then I realized that motorcycles are like, you're driving stick shift with your feet. So you have to change gears with your feet on a Colombian highway. And I was just thinking, like, I skidded a little, and I was like, no one would donate to my GoFundMe. No,
like, you did it to yourself, man.
Yeah, I did it to myself. Like, okay, not to say I don't have friends. I have a lot of friends. But they would read through what I was doing and how I died.
Yeah, it's not the most sympathetic, yeah.
They'd be like, what? How? Oh, damn, yeah. Millie died, and they'd read
you'd
the bio.
You'd have to lie. That's an instance where you'd have to lie about the circumstances.
Yeah, because they'd be
sure.
Like, what was this fat bitch
sure.
doing on the Colombian highway?
All right,
okay, to bring it back to this, though, really quick. That was a beautiful story. I think we need to attack the demand part of dogs. I think the demand for dogs in this city is out of control. Too many people have dogs,
yeah.
And they are the people supporting this.
Who are these people that are walking by and they're like, oh, here's $2,000 in cash for a puppy. Who has $2,000 in cash?
And you know they're saying they adopted. You know they're saying they adopted those puppies.
But that's the whole thing.
You're like, that thing's too cute to be
Do
an
we know that
dog.
These are like new dogs or they used dogs?
I think they're new. They're not the used kind. They're the Are new they? Kind.
Okay. And what's in the trunk?
Like is it
the,
somebody
what's the bedding
dog?
There?
Yeah, it's bedding so they don't pee over the SUV. All right, we got to move on.
We got to move on, guys.
Hold on a second.
We have a new mayor coming up, and we got to talk about it. You got to get it out there. Yeah, we have a new mayor. I don't know if you heard this. I don't know if you went and voted, but last week, Mayor-elect Mamdani and President Trump met at the White House. Trump, who called Mamdani a 100% communist lunatic and a total nut job during the campaign, said he found him to be very reasonable and generally seemed to have a huge crush on him. So what's everyone's reaction to this meeting?
Trump loves winners, for sure, and he is trying to suckle at the teat of how much people like Mamdani. Absolutely.
So as one of the two Asian people up here, what I got to say is...
I said one and a half. We said half passing. Asian passing,
right,
sorry.
That's right. No, but for 100% serious, I was not at all surprised by Trump's reaction. And the reason why was, like, Zoran... Zoran went 100% into this is my Indian uncle mode, where it's like, I hate everything this guy is saying. I know he's full of shit. And I just have to go up there and just bear with whatever he's going to say. I'm not going to agree with him. I'm not going to, like, give him an inch. I'm going to say what I have to say. But I'm just going to sit here. I'm not even smiling. Because he didn't smile. This is the only time we've seen him not smile in the last year.
He had, like, a fake smile. He was like a...
But no dimple. No dimple.
It was a no
dimple.
And you're saying it's an Indian uncle. I feel like that's just holidays, baby.
Yeah.
Well, we all have a crazy uncle who says shit we don't engage with. I think that, you know, he got hit with a little riz.
But I will tell you, in the WhatsApp chats, like, everybody in the community was like, I know this. I know this vibe. I know exactly what
there's
he's doing.
There's one WhatsApp for...
Yeah. There's 1.
Can I get in one?
There's 1.3 billion people in this chat.
Yeah.
Like,
wow. I'm muting that one. That's a lot of people.
It's a high-volume chat. But for real, I was just like, this thing, like, we all know exactly that feeling. And I was like, he's going to come out of this thing. And yeah, he likes a winner, but also all you just do is sit back and be like, we're going to do this thing, I'm going to win. So I was not surprised.
Yeah, I thought a couple of things about it. One, the main Cuomo argument was that I'll stand up to Trump. Trump's going to steamroll this guy. And just to see Mamdani go in there and just charm the pants off him and even be told, like, you can call me fascist, it's fine. Like, I mean, it was so surreal. Cody and I watched the entire, like, C-SPAN feed.
I haven't laughed that hard, like, in a long time.
Watch the whole 30 minutes if you haven't. It's amazing. But the other thing that was really striking to me, and I know some of our audience will probably appreciate this too, is that it was a YIMBY love fest. They were both talking about solving our affordable housing crisis by building. I think Trump was just like probably at a very basic level, like, I like building buildings. This guy likes building buildings, you know? And Bumdami's like, I want to build affordable housing, but also market rate housing because it's a supply and demand problem. And I thought it was just like a huge win for the YIMBY movement.
I mean, I feel like he went in there and was like, hey, you could be like FDR in New York City. You could build giant things. We'll name everything after you. Like, just come in and build, build, build. And he was like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. Oh, and I love, too, he kept being like, oh, he actually doesn't like crime. I heard that he liked crime, but he says he doesn't like it. Huh, that's interesting. It's like, does he really think that he likes crime?
I've heard, like, a more cynical view of that meeting is similar to, like, it's the bear hug strategy where it's like you smother your opponent. It's what a lot of, it's business, the art of the deal. It's a lot of business people like will smother their opponent to make it so like they have to submit or whatever. People are saying that he's trying to do that. Also, you know, we all withheld a lot of jokes about Joe Biden, but Trump is not doing well. You know what I'm saying? There's a cognitive decline in.
That's very true.
You don't say.
So I don't think he's not really like standing on business. You know, he says a bunch of shit all the time.
It's all
and
right.
He's like
we could try to deport him tomorrow. I'm not in exactly. Any way.
Exactly. Also,
you see
Mamdani's face on that many New York Post covers. You're like a little starstruck by him.
Yeah.
Like Trump sees that man in person after seeing him on the cover. It's like, yeah, that's
well,
like,
the New York
exciting.
Post tries to make him look scary when they put him on, even though the man is literally smiling every second of the day.
Well,
they
Patrick-
find one shot where he isn't. The one where you're standing by Trump. That's the one we're going to use.
Patrick just also is turned on by men on New York Post covers. That's his little
that's
thing.
That's very true.
If a man's on the New
if
York
a man's
Post
on the New York
cover,
Post cover
like,
that's hot.
That's hot,
it's
yeah.
That kind of square shape of the New York Post. There's something about it.
The other thing that I think about it is like the whole bear hug thing or Trump's, you know, playing 3D chess. I think all Mamdani needs is for Trump to give us money for things like the tunnel we're building underneath the river, for Penn Station, for SNAP, and for just the federal government needs to give us our fair share. We don't even get our fair share, but we should get what we get. And then otherwise, don't think about us. Like, we don't need to, like, they don't need to get into a fight about national politics.
Yes,
like, let's just, you know, fix our problems here, build affordable housing, build a new subway line, get a nice Penn Station, and not talk to him.
Yeah, just keep it moving. But I also think legit when he says, like, I didn't know that you don't love crime, or I didn't know you wanted to build something. I think he's in that bubble where, like, everybody around him has been saying, this guy loves crime and hates to build shit, right? And so he's like, wow, surprise, this guy does it. Like, I think it's actually sincere. And then the other part is, yeah, he's like, this guy's famous, and I like famous.
Mm-hmm. 9 out of 10 New Yorkers hate crime. That's a statistic
and the
I
one
came up with.
So there are people that are still freaking out about Mamdani. Representative Elise Stefanik has continued calling Mamdani a jihadist, even after Trump specifically refuted her opinion in that meeting, which was also amazing. And Islamophobia has been on full display leading to and after the election. Actor John Voight called on Trump to terminate immediately the mayorality of Mamdani because he's going to turn NYC into a forbidden place of darkness. And Millie, I know that you've had your eye on a particular actress named Deborah Messing. Can you explain what's going on with Deborah Messing and her freak out over Mamdani?
Can anyone?
Deborah Messing is a TV star from the show Will and Grace. And Will and Grace, just like many things in the culture from that time, was very progressive at the time. And now you look back at it and it was very problematic and regressive. Symbolism maybe, but Deborah Messing, it's also kind of sad because she's just been posting kind of manically, like all these Islamophobic things, like pro-Israel things, how, and also very much like Mamdani's gonna make it so dangerous for everybody, and I'm gonna flee. And then all these people are like replying like shut up or like you don't know what you're talking about or I thought you were gonna leave, just move.
Reboot
so,
Will and Grace.
Exactly. So the other day, Monday, I open threads and I hear like, aren't you supposed to move? And then I saw it was a picture of her, and she's like, get out and enjoy the weather before the cold front comes. And I was like, I looked at the weather, it was nice, and I took my dog to the park, and I was like, wow, thank you, Deborah Messing. Like, without seeing your hateful stuff, I would have never known to go outside. And guys, Deborah Messing's right.
Well, a
just
lot
about
of,
that one thing.
The other constituency that is losing their fucking minds, moms, white moms, a lot of white moms on the Upper East Side. Upper East Side of all stars and stripes are losing their minds over Mom Donnie. They're scared, and they're living in a bubble that's perpetuating fear.
And what, can you say that one more time, a place of darkness?
Yeah, John Voight called on Trump to...
And John Voight is still alive?
Apparently. Do you know where John Voight lives?
No, Upper East Side, I guess.
No.
Bushwick?
He owns an apartment in the Williamsburg Tower on North 7th.
Wow.
So he's talking about Pit of Darkness. I'm like, yeah, babe. The Artist in Fleas, where you pay $45 for an earring, is dark.
Just one earring. The pair is 90.
The pair's 90, and it's like the most handmade shit anyway.
One other Upper East Side resident we want to talk about is Cuomo. So I don't know if anybody watched Cuomo's concession speech. I hope you didn't. Barely a concession. He said, it's important to make note that almost half of New Yorkers did not vote to support a government agenda that makes promises we know cannot be met. Which is another way of saying that a majority of people did vote for it. I love it. Almost half didn't vote for this. Like, you lost, bro. Like, almost half of the other team's baskets went in the basketball goal. And so should the Knicks really win? Also, the thing that's so funny to me is, like, are we mad about the agenda? Are we mad that he can't possibly make this agenda happen? I think that's been a real, trouble with Mob Donnie critics. But can we never think about Cuomo again? Is he going to run for Jerry Nadler's seat or some stupid shit like that? Or can we just never think about
him? He's never going to quit. I mean, we know he doesn't take no for an answer, right? Like, this guy is never going to quit. And I think the thing that's really interesting to watch is, like, what is the next thing going to be? Like, he's only ever going to fail, and he's going to run out of offices to run for. Like, you're going to have, like, dog catcher or whatever else is there. And I think it's going to just be, like, he's going to set up, like, a hot dog cart. He's going to set, like, it's not even going to be political office at this point.
We say this a lot on the show, but I think the grandchildren are not doing a good job. Because none of the people want to quit and spend time with their grandchildren. So I'm blaming children. Mm-hmm. Because in all industries across all fields, if you're a baby boomer, you're like, no, you will pry this job and this life and this house from my cold dead hands. Mm-hmm. They don't want to spend time with their grandkids, and that's our fault as parents.
But even the daughters, like, I kind of that was so shocking to me during his campaign.
I mean, would you want to hang out with them?
Mm. Well, he took his daughter's apartment.
The daughters are corny too. Don't give them any credit.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but they didn't rein him in. They weren't like, hey, you need to knock this shit off.
Because they're corny, too. You're going to say no to the guy paying your rent? That's Sugar Baby 101.
No, but
daughter or daddy.
But like Patrick just said, it's not that. He took his daughter's apartment and made her go rent somewhere else.
I'm not going to make that joke. I'm not going to make that joke.
I can't. It's crazy that he lost so hard twice. It's like, aren't you embarrassed? Obviously not. There's no embarrassment for someone like that. But it's like, you're so rich. Go away.
I know. But
enjoy your richness. Go to Dubai. I don't know.
Oh, I think that, personally, I think the thing that would solve everything, all the country's problems, and would entertain me, is if there was a reality show with Trump, Cuomo and Eric Adams guest starring Curtis Sliwa, and they have to work together on something. And the cameras
projects,
follow them, and we see how things are negotiated.
They have to go make a Doritos commercial on the street. This is like an Apprentice reboot.
Yeah, exactly. But
put him on an island.
Huh? Put him on an island.
It's not this one.
No,
Epstein Island.
Epstein Island.
It's not being used, as far as we know.
We hope not. We don't know.
Yeah, what's going on with Epstein Island? Did somebody buy it?
I saw two guys just like went on a boat up to it and kind of like went on it for a minute. There's like nothing happening.
Your YouTube feed is crazy.
Yeah.
This is not a national politics show, so we don't know anything about Epstein Island here. Mm.
All right, one quick thing about Governors. The election results I want to talk about, which was there's a breakdown of the types of people that voted for Cuomo, the types of people that voted for Mamdani. And the biggest divide in the numbers, Mamdani won people who take transit by 29 points. And Cuomo won people who drive by 23 points. So is car ownership the biggest political divider in the city?
Yes. Dog ownership, close second.
You take that back now.
Well, the cat owners voted for Sliwa. We know that.
And if you own a car and you sell the dog out of the back, then that's double.
And you're Amish. Yeah. And these guys.
Right. Yeah, I feel like they really tried to peddle it to us with like the congestion pricing and everything, being like, this is gonna really hurt like working class people. And it's like, every person I know with a car is some rich ass person who's like shuttling off to the Catskills or Connecticut with their car, and it's fucked up. And I totally think so. It's like, yeah, what the fuck? No way.
This is another one of those things where, like, it's that the media bubble they're in, where, like, everybody who doesn't live here, they're like, they charge them money to drive in a car? Like, I don't understand it. And so they think it sounds crazy, and we're all like, no, this is the best thing in the world. And so they can't, like it doesn't click for them, and it's overwhelmingly popular here. So, like, yeah, the people who only read media that's from, you know, the rest of America don't understand.
And then the people that live in College Point, Queens, and Vicky Palladino is their rep, they do drive in.
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
They think it's their right to be able to drive into the middle of Manhattan and park their car and see a Broadway show.
I want to talk a little bit. We briefly touched on will Andrew Cuomo run for Jerry Nadler's seat. But JFK's 32-year-old grandson announced he's running for the congressional seat being vacated by Jerry Nadler, and that covers most of Manhattan, from 14th Street to the top of Central Park. Jack Schlossberg joins a crowded field of local politicians, including friend of the show, Eric Botcher, our city councilman who's been on the show before. And they've been active in the district for years. What do you all think of the young Kennedy joining the race? Anil, you just started laughing, I think you have an opinion.
Even if he's like the best guy in the world, can we just not have another guy whose qualifications is he's part of a family?
Yeah, but his is a little bit more legit. RFK Jr. is like, sure. You're a fucked up Kennedy.
Sure. But just like, I'm just like.
There's two kinds of Kennedys.
There's two kinds of Kennedys.
I got the spam text and he's like, hey, guess what my last name of somebody in my family was? And I was like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. Like, I'm sure he's a nice guy.
I think he should remain like a TikTok star and just kind of like do that.
Yeah. Like, the it's same very thing fun. I felt about Eric Adams. Just stay on TikTok.
Yeah.
Or a reality show.
I find it frustrating because it's already a lot of really qualified, great people that are running that are young and interesting and like really fighting for our communities. And then, you know, it's like,
who've been engaged.
Yes.
Too.
And I think the comparison
Kasky is one. He was a Parkland survivor and he has a very impressive campaign and he's running for New York 14.
And then there's a assemblyman from the Upper West Side who's running as well. But I think it's interesting, like, Mamdani filled a void, you know, like, there was a void in that primary that I think, obviously, Brad Lander, there were some great candidates, but there was something interesting about him in a field that was a little bit different, and I think people are trying to replicate it, and it's like, this one already has some, like, young, interesting people who are hungry who have worked in the communities and know the communities, so I find it a little frustrating, but I do agree he is a better Kennedy than what we have now. Yeah.
I want to quickly talk about the Bill de Blasio news. I'm not going to get into Bill de Blasio's affairs.
Come on.
There was one story that was really funny to me. Right before the election, the Times of London posted an interview where Bill de Blasio was critical of Zohran Mamdani, surprising everyone. The Times later retracted the story, saying that they had been duped by an imposter. But the real story turned out to be much more than that. Semaphore tracked down the alleged imposter, a Long Island resident also named Bill de Blasio. So that Bill said he had simply offered his opinions on Zohran as a man named Bill de Blasio because he'd been addressed as such and because he's always been Bill de Blasio. The best detail of this story is that Semaphore scored an interview with the Long Island Man by showing up to his house and ringing his Ring camera, and they found him in Florida, where he responded.
Oh, they did the interview in Florida?
Yeah, he was in Florida, and he did the interview over his Ring camera.
So an older Long Island resident or that lives in Florida doesn't like Mom Donnie.
And wait, was he standing outside of his door doing the interview, his porch?
The reporter was on the porch talking to this guy who was at his second home in Florida. He's like, yeah, I hate Mom. I'm down here in my second home. I hate Mom Donnie. Like, yeah. Yeah,
and
a
they
Long Island.
Thought that this is the, I mean, where was the home?
No, this is the person that's investigating. I don't know how Bill de Blasio initially did the interview with Times of London. Some British reporter Googled Bill de Blasio and found this guy's Squarespace site and sent him a message. I don't know.
They didn't even Google him right because Bill de Blasio is all up and down Park Slope going on dates with all the single moms.
And he looks good now.
And he, oh!
He spent all that time in the gym, right?
Yeah. He's taking his SUV to the gym. In the Park Slope.
The nice thing about the Ring cam is that that guy wouldn't even have to be in the house, you know, just doing it through his phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. But I feel like he's like the Michael Bolton guy in Office Space. He's like, why should I change my name? He's the guy who sucks, right?
Yeah. Although I think Mayor de Blasio is older than this guy, no?
Well, and this guy also spelled his name with a capital D and no space between the duh and the Blasio.
Wow.
And he made a big point of saying that's the correct way
to
spell it.
Yeah. Have you guys ever had any mix-ups with someone having your name?
Well, not with my name, but Millie did treat me like an Asian for a very long time. And I did not correct her.
And you didn't correct me for years.
Yeah,
I rolled. What were you doing? What was the treatment?
Yeah, you say.
No.
I think it's just racism.
I was hitting on him. And then he's like, I'm white. I'm like, oh, never mind. I'm white.
The gay thing didn't matter, but the white thing mattered.
And I'm like, who cares? And then he said, I'm white. I'm like, all right.
Oh, bye.
All right, that
all right.
Sucked.
That speaking of white dudes, I want to talk about SantaCon. I want to talk about SantaCon for a little bit. White dudes
That's
love SantaCon.
That's your culture. Claim that.
Mm-hmm. White dude Thanksgiving, SantaCon.
So SantaCon returns in a few weeks, but there's a new documentary that just premiered at DocNYC that delves into the origins of the tradition in San Francisco in the mid-1990s. And what started as a countercultural happening decades ago eventually morphed into a drunken pub crawl. So it's a really good movie. I saw it. I am in it. I have one line in it.
What was your line?
Yeah.
If it was like, I was not an interesting
These
line.
These Santas are crazy.
Get out of here. And then you throw up.
I was interviewed because I also had an annual event that went on for a little bit too long called the No Pants Subway Ride. So they were getting my perspective. But I'm barely in the movie. But the movie is great. And it shows that it was this cool group of like very countercultural, anti-consumerist people in San Francisco who started this, and then it became what it is today. But I want to talk about what it is today. And do you guys think that modern SantaCon is really as bad as people say it is? Because people love to hate on it, and people even claim that they're scared of it. Like, oh, I won't go outside on SantaCon Day. But is it actually worse than St. Patrick's Day?
I feel like I don't want to speak on behalf of like the people who work in the bars. Like, their experience can be very different and very horrifying, but I really love it, and I think it is really fun. I think it is really fun to be on a subway train, and it's full of people dressed like Santa and the reindeers, and they all start singing a Christmas song. And I could see how that would be absolutely frightening for a lot of people, but I think things like that are really fun to be around.
I don't mean to disrespect your culture.
Yeah, thank you.
But, I also think it's amazing. I mean, to your point about, like, No Pants Subway Ride, I also think it's amazing when something starts, like, really pure and interesting, and it's, like, it is countercultural. I mean, I think even, like, people that used to go to, like, Burning Man a long time ago now are like, oh, it sucks.
The same group of people, by the way. The people that created Burning Man are the same people that created SantaCon.
So, a lot of shit is their fault, okay? I'm blaming everything on them.
But a lot of shit that started out pretty cool, and then got out of control.
Yeah, that's the American way. Yeah.
Totally.
It starts off kind of cool and gets real weird. And
I will say, as a resident of Midtown Manhattan, last year, as a resident of Midtown Manhattan, one of my son's friends had a birthday party in the middle of SantaCon at a place in 35th Street, and I had to walk five preteen boys from Herald Square to Hell's Kitchen in the middle of SantaCon, and I felt like the biggest badass in the world. I was like, I am maneuvering these children through throwing up Santas, through Santas ashing on their faces, because, you know, I don't know if you know, but children are the same height as an ash from a cigarette.
Yeah.
A lot of fielding, a lot of questions, and also they're boys, so they were just jumping on things for no reason. I was exhausted. I needed to sleep for about a week afterwards.
So it sounds so magical, though. It sounds so magical.
Banned SantaCon.
It is interesting that these are the kids will be like, that's their childhood. That is their childhood. But
I will say how I was personally affected by SantaCon is that a few years ago, so this is like 2012, and it's a different fashion time. It's, or no, 2013, 2014. Beyonce had the very short, straight bangs. If those who know, know. I know you remember the short bangs, the Beyonce short bangs. So Millie got short bangs. And then also, I wore the American Apparel disco pants. They finally made them in extra large. I wore them in red with my bright patent leather black Doc Martens. I get on the fucking M14A, and the bus driver goes, and I'm the bus driver's like, "How's SantaCon?" And I said, "Bitch, I'll fucking kill." I said, "Well, I'll fucking kill." And then I stood up, like, "What?" And then he pushes the button. It's a felony to assault a bus driver. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? I look cool. That's when I decided, okay, indie sleaze, I can skip this trend. So I say ban it. Ban it all. Ban all of them.
Seems like we all want to ban it.
You got roasted by the M14A. That's rough.
It happens to the best of us in New York. I was being vulnerable, okay?
All right, I want to talk about concession pricing, different than congestion pricing, which we talk about on this show a lot. Mondani has appointed Lina Khan, the former head of the Federal Trade Commission under Biden, to his transition team. In addition to promising to look at the high cost of healthcare and an issue of algorithmic rent pricing, Khan has said she wants to investigate concession pricing at ballparks and arenas. Khan has identified a 56-year-old New York City law that prohibits unconscionable business practices and thinks charging $20 for a beer at city-owned land like Yankee Stadium and Madison Square Garden is pretty unconscionable. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. But also, you've got to go after the ticket prices. You've got to go after Ticketmaster. That is like where it's so fucked up. But I think that's beautiful. It's we're living in a nightmare. Going to a concert is $1,000.
And it's all it's the enshittification where they start out something good and then it gets shittier and shittier and you gotta pay more and you gotta pay more and the dial's being turned up and now what used to be like $100 night out is now like you're spending $300, what the fuck? And no one's saying anything. And this is also why like it's important for local politics because you know, Adams, Cuomo, all these people, like, they're not even thinking about what is it
that's
like?
That's why Trump's beating the drum on affordability now.
Exactly. Well, he always, when he Truth Social's affordability, he always uses quotes. And he puts it in text.
Just like groceries. He's not convinced groceries.
He's like, groceries. We're working on the affordability. I'm like, do you believe it or not? But exactly, like, none of these people are thinking, and it's just nice to have someone who's thinking, like, what is it like as a family or as a whatever to go to something and have to pay?
But it's also interesting. I mean, we pay, our tax money pays to build these things, and we give these corporations the tax breaks. It is pretty nuts. It's like, wait a minute. We helped pay for these things and fund them.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, and we know it's going to be expensive, but the prices they're paying at these places are
really
expensive.
I like that Lena always goes for a crowd pleaser, right? She's like, would you like to pay less for beer? And people are like, I love Lena Khan. It's amazing. But they should also be like, or if you pay $20 for the beer, you should get to punch Dolan in the face when you go to a Knicks game.
Oh.
Right? Like, that's worth it. That's a premium. Yeah.
Punch who?
Jamie Dolan, the owner of the Knicks.
Yeah.
Who will scan your face on the way in to all of his venues.
Yeah, this is a guy that's like, you know, scanning your eyeballs when you go into a Knicks game.
I want to talk about the Elizabeth Street Garden, which is something that's been talked about quite a bit. The saga of this garden is never ending. The city-owned land was going to be the site of a 123-unit, deeply affordable housing project for seniors until Adams reversed course. He had previously supported it. Seemingly at the urging of the deputy mayor, who is actually running the city right now, Randy Mastro, Mamdani said that he'll get the housing project back on track when he takes over. So Mastro pulled a fast one and declared the garden was being converted into a public park, which will make it much harder for Mamdani to build the housing there. Has anyone here been to the Elizabeth Street Garden? If so, what do you think of it? Should it be turned into housing?
It's mid. Tear it down.
It's what?
It's mid. Tear it down.
It's mid.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm surprised you said that because you don't like to donate to old dogs. I didn't think you'd want senior housing.
This is senior housing, right?
Not for dogs.
Yeah,
no,
but you guys were talking about no senior GoFundMes, no senior dogs, no senior citizens. I'm just saying.
No, senior dogs, not senior people.
They deserve housing. It's just if they get sick, Medicare should take care of it. We shouldn't have a GoFundMe.
And my dog.
I just want to say one more thing about dogs. I feel like they need to be kept out of some of the parks, to be honest, because there are signs that say no dogs, and people just let their dogs run, tear up the grass.
Whoa. Okay, see, if you were Asian, I wouldn't feel weird about you coming at me like that, but you're not. So I'm going to need you to turn down the hostility just a tad, okay? Because you are fully white.
Are we talking about
and you like SantaCon, so you should not be so aggressive.
Elizabeth Street Dog Park? Is that where we're going?
Listen, my dog's going to piss everywhere, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Cody and I, we went to the Elizabeth Street Garden earlier this year. I'd never been to it, and we went at the end of the summer. It's a nice place.
It was very busy.
It was crowded. It's a nice place to be on a Sunday. But the story of this garden is that, like, some dude just started storing his sculpture there in the 70s, and it was until it became a proposal for housing, it was locked, and no one could go on it.
Like the Gramercy.
Yeah. And I'm sure, I mean, it's nice. It was undeniably a nice, pleasant place to be on a Sunday afternoon.
But I think that neighborhood has a need for more gathering spaces. You know, there are certain areas that are sort of deserts for spaces to congregate.
And green space.
That aren't just playgrounds, because if you're an adult, you're not going to, you shouldn't.
Yeah, don't.
As a parent, we definitely see some people in those playgrounds that shouldn't be there. But, you know, we do need that. And the fact that maybe this wasn't the best way it was handled, but the fact that since they've opened it up, if you go there on the weekends, it is packed. I think that shows the need people have.
So what we should do is pedestrianize all of Lower Manhattan, and then we'll have tons of space for people to hang out and have their coffee and their pizza. And we could build housing.
Where do you think it should start if we pedestrianize it?
I think south of 59th.
Okay.
I don't know. Let's start in Lower Manhattan where there's those little tiny alleys.
No, you gotta start
streets.
Big and then this is the whole this was our election. You gotta start with something crazy.
When I'm negotiating, I'll say south of 59th.
I mean, it's ridiculous. They just put a proposal through to make Restaurant Row, 46th Street, pedestrianized. And not even pedestrianized, a slow street. I'm like, we can't even have one block that's full of restaurants that we tell all the tourists to go to, and it's still like they're fighting with a big rig. You know, it's like, come on, one block. So, yeah, we need more.
All right, I want to talk about cars some more, specifically electric cars and where they're going to charge. If we could have photo number two up, Dejan. A man built a dog poop bag dispenser that concealed an outlet to charge his electric car on the curb in front of his Brooklyn apartment. So, and videos on TikTok show people with elaborate setups with extension cords coming out of their third floor windows being wrapped around light bulbs. How should the city handle EV charging? Shouldn't these people have to go somewhere else to handle this? You don't install a gas pump on the curb.
Or maybe you do. We just haven't seen that one on TikTok yet.
Maybe there's a hidden gas pump inside.
People do it. There's a lady making a tunnel in her house.
Wait, what?
On TikTok, anyway.
She's doing what?
She made a whole tunnel in her house in Northern Virginia. Oh, okay. Kaya. For those who are not, guys, look up Kaya, the tunnel girl on TikTok.
Look up tunnel girl.
Look up tunnel girl. I can't even get into it.
But we have free parking everywhere. We established that I don't love free street parking, but I think we should charge for the curb and other better uses for the curb. But is there an argument that, like, well, we need to have some EV chargers on the sidewalk in some places or no?
First of all, I gotta say I respect the hustle, like masking your charger as like, oh, it's for the dogs,
because and that feels
dogs,
inoffensive.
We love dogs. Yeah. Maybe depends how old they are. But I think it's such an interesting, like, this should be my public utility. Like this guy clearly thinks like he's doing a civic good, Right? He's like,
it's just for him.
Yeah.
Right. But like the reason you do the like I'm masking it for the dogs is like I thought I was doing the right thing kind of thing. Like
I think he's hiding.
Yeah. But
also, is he rich as fuck? You could just install your own electric. I mean, oh my gosh.
No, this is
someone.
Amazon. This is
that's probably
$200 on Amazon.
Well, then that is a hazard.
I bet
that is a fire hazard.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I bet
of course. But these guys aren't thinking this through.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that, like, it's incentives, right? Like, if you can find a way to have a space that you charge for, have a charger, like, set it up, get people to sort of go to it.
Housing for seniors, green space.
There you go.
Gun buyback. Let's do it all.
But I mean, it should be a public good. It should be a way for the city to make money. That infrastructure doesn't exist. I mean, that could exist. That's not wild. But why haven't we done that? I don't know why we haven't done that.
Yeah, we should have gas stations for EVs. And I think the technology is getting better. We're going to have fast chargers where it doesn't take hours. And they should be located wherever gas stations are located, which is mostly not this island. We have a couple. Yeah. But I think the fundamental problem here is people think they own the curb in front 100%. Of their apartment. And they don't, especially if you live in a building with, you know, our building is almost 40 units. You cannot park in 40 cars in front of that building. So no one owns that.
The next thing we want to talk about is Grand Central. It's a pun, and you'll hear why in a minute. Bath and Body Works marketing campaign in the passageway underneath Grand Central Terminal that connects the S train to the 456. The brand is diffusing scent into the space that is vaguely sweet with a definite freshness and woodiness, as well as notes of eucalyptus. What does the panel think of smell-based marketing in public spaces? Get it, Grand Central? Huh?
Mm-hmm. One more time.
I'm reading it.
I called it out. I said she wrote that one. I could see who wrote what.
I think it's fucked up. That's crazy. You're just pouring it in. People have like real like get really affected by stuff like that.
I cannot walk into a Bath and Body Works without like gagging. Yeah. It is.
Guys, Grand Central smells like ass.
Yeah.
It smells like ass.
That's our ass.
It smells like ass. People can put stuff. It's a nasty smell. It's unpleasant. It's grimy there. I don't care.
Yeah, this is the problem. It's like the passageways there, like it smells like piss. So like that's the bad part.
Well, but then it just smells like the deodorized piss.
Yeah, right, deodorized
the problem is the other bad part is like I don't want like some company spraying their chemicals at me being like buy stuff. Like that's bad.
We all remember what it smelled like when like a kid threw up. Remember? And you'd walk through the hallway in your school and you'd be like, why does it smell like sawdust? Because someone threw up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if it smelled like, if it could even mask the piss smell even a little bit, I'm buying it.
But there's got to be some
like,
choice other
buying
than
buying
like,
it. You got to cover up a lot of piss smell. You got a dog
at home.
I got
to cover up my weed. Yeah, the fuck? I smoke in my apartment. I'm not going to go down every time I want to hit a joint and watch a K-drama.
Yeah.
I think it's not a good, I think it's not good to let marketers hijack another one of our five senses, right?
Yeah.
Already, you're walking through a subway terminal and you're seeing advertising everywhere for that friend AI or whatever, you know? And it's just like, now I have to smell the brands too when I'm walking around the city. And this one, whenever advertising goes into a new space, it's always the most pleasant version of it. But like next July 4th, it's gonna be like, oh, a hot dog company is pumping hot dog smells into Grand Central passageway.
And you'll be on the dock for that one. You'll be on the documentary. That's a talking head for how it started cool.
Yeah, and now
and
it's
it
hot
got
dogs.
Fucked up.
Well, speaking of advertising and public space, can we get up photo 3 and photo 4?
Just 3.
Just three to start. A city bike rack in our neighborhood was recently covered in ads for a new Perry Ellis cologne. The 44 docks were covered in 133 total advertisements on a residential street. Should we have to put up ads like this on the street? Are we allowed to have that? What do you guys think?
Who's the guy?
I think he's an Italian model for Perry Ellis. He's a nice-looking guy. He's the other side of this. He's shirtless in the other one.
All right.
But you know,
I'm listening.
City bikes.
We're in Mandanistan.
Where is this?
And
where is
now.
This?
We can. This is legal. This is legal in Mandanistan now. I say it's fine.
I just feel like, where is the money going? That is the thing.
Not going to making the blue bikes any better.
Yeah, it's total shit. So it's like, where is that money going? If you're going to put all those ads up, it better make that shit cheaper. It better make that shit better. Right. And it's not.
This is the same thing as the scent, right? Like, that's the best version of the smell. This is the best version of the ads.
Then if there's hot dogs.
Actually, the ad got a glow up. Can we go to photo 4? Yeah, it turns out a local street artist took matters into his own hands and covered the ads with 264 googly eyes. We know the exact number. It's weird. Some people on TikTok are calling this man a national treasure, saying this man should win an Oscar.
Yeah. An Oscar,
correct.
Some people know him personally and call him.
It was me. I
the
did
love
it.
Of their life.
I did.
Wait, you
I
did,
did
it. Yes. You did it yourself. You glued it, or did you do it up like digitally?
I bought googly eyes. And
round of applause for the googly eyes.
Wow.
Please.
I made it a topic of my own show to brag about it.
I told you to. I said we had to show it.
No, but to talk about that, I mean, first of all, I did this because I thought it'd be funny because
it was funny. Give it a round of applause. It was funny. It was funny.
It's been getting a lot of chuckles because it's on this side too, on the other side, and on the top.
Oh, I want to see the shirtless
one. Is it on the shirtless side?
Yeah.
You
should have put googly eyes on
the
nipples.
But yeah.
You know, next time.
There is
next
one. Time. Somebody did put googly eyes on one of the photos on the nipples.
I also want to say that this kind of whimsy is exactly what I love about New York and is exactly what SantaCon also kind of brings to us. It's kind of like seeing something this fun and weird in the city is like SantaCon.
I think SantaCon was.
Was.
And this street art does not barf or fornicate in public. So
actually,
it's not SantaCon.
Let's see the shirtless side.
Like, you were talking about the Friend AI. I think like every single Friend AI ad I saw has been vandalized. And that part brought me joy. Like, the ads are horrible, but the fact that New York is still New York, where like every single one was vandalized, I was like, that's good.
Hard to vandalize a smell.
Well, that's what it is.
I think pissing and
pissing.
And
okay, I'll do that.
But my opinion on this, I mean, I did it because I thought, well, it would be funny. It's just absurd. Like, we live very close to this dock, and it was like, I'm gonna walk by this every day, and I'm gonna have to see 88 impressions. That's what advertisers call like your brain. 88 impressions of this model and this cologne, and that's ridiculous. So I should do something funny, and I thought googly eyes was an easy
and my wife did help.
Cody carried
it. Cody.
Thank you. I'm the brains man in the operation because Charlie's like, this is going to take a long time. And I was like, we put them on a tray and then I walk out like a waitress and you stick them.
Also, do you have kids? Tell the kids to help out.
They didn't want to help, but they're excited.
They didn't want to help.
We have one of our children is a rule follower he is very afraid of breaking a rule, and I don't know how he's our child.
You got the child you deserve. That's what happened.
Yeah.
But to talk about the issue is that like City Bike has an advertisement. It's for City Bank.
Totally.
And every single bike has
already
like
an ad.
4 City logos, and every dock has City logos on it. So it's already an ad. And City Bike, which I've been a member since day one, and I'm a huge fan of City Bike.
Wait, real quick. So I kind of do think that's why that doesn't bother me as much, though, because that already is a fucking ad to begin with. So
just
to put
another
ad on it, I'm like, at least I'm looking at like a beautiful man.
I don't want to fuck City Bank.
But the docks.
Italian.
I see your point, but the docks are just gray, right? Yeah. The ads on the corner, and maybe it says Lyft on top. But to talk about City Bike, the city's independent budget office reported this month that the price of a yearly City Bike membership has grown by 77% in inflation-adjusted dollars since the program launched in 2013. So it was $95, and on Black Friday you could get it for $50 the first few years, and now it costs $220, substantially higher than other cities. The second most expensive program is in London, and that's $161 a year converting that currency. We're paying a lot for City Bike. They just lowered the speed limit of
their
white bikes.
Are falling apart.
The blue bikes are in bad shape.
They keep raising the price per minute for those gray bikes too.
Yeah. That's how they get you.
So if they said, we're going to put a bunch of Perialis ads on every single City Bike dock and the price is going down
20%. And where are the ad dollars going? They're not subsidizing our bikes.
They're going to Lyft, right? So the publicly traded company.
Well, famously treats all of their employees very well.
It's so messed up.
I do have to point out, the advertising industry, when you watch these or look at these ads, they call them sticky eyeballs. But you literally have the sticky eyeballs. I think you should really tell them you're better at this than they are. But I do think, like, when these get worse, what are these going to turn into? Like, right now, it's just a bunch of, like, handsome dudes.
Yeah, yeah. You mean, oh, when the ads get worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, they're going
right.
to start putting ugly guys, like guys from FX.
FX, the cable network?
Yeah, just that's where they put all the ugly guys.
Nasty men on the channel.
Are we talking about
those who know, who know? What all the hot ones are on CW. All the uggos are on FX.
Wow. I did not know that FX was a network for ugly guys.
Oh, my God.
Creative, sorry. Sorry, wow. Creative, the nerdy ones. Oh.
But it is so crazy. God. It's just the service is getting worse and worse. The bikes are getting worse and worse. They're raising up the price. Where does that money go? What is happening?
You know what's happening? America being great again. Wow. That's what's happening. This is the price for greatness, guys.
Make city
this
bike
is being
great again.
I'm being sarcastic.
What if we put
thanks, Millie.
Can we make the bike smell good?
Well, I don't know. You don't like smelling good. You want everything to smell like
piss. I'm coming around. I'm being convinced.
Well, they could do a whole thing where as you bike, it emits a smell, and then the whole city will smell.
Yeah. Like kind of does that already. Yeah.
Or like that one time it smelled like maple syrup. Do you remember that?
That was
and we all were like, are we having a stroke? Collectively, everyone in Manhattan thought
and
they were
like,
stroke.
It's a smell from New Jersey. Don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and we were all like, okay, I guess we're all going to die.
Just
I don't
one
know.
Of the factories in New Jersey that makes every chemical that we taste and every food we eat.
I do think that was the alien. In retrospect, we've had all the weird alien sightings, and we're not talking about the UFOs. I think they had something to do with the scent.
There was the smell from New Jersey, and then there was the time there was the big giant flashing light at night.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what she said, the UFOs.
The UFOs. Yeah. It's
that's
all related.
The UFOs from New Jersey.
Mark my words, you heard it here first.
There's been an issue in an elementary school. I'm going to not name the school.
We've heard.
This whole podcast is about shit that's going on in your
We have no connection.
You're like, look at what happened on my street. Look at what happened at my school.
This is personal is political. I know,
but I'm like, you're calling out the school.
We just invited a whole audience here to talk about stuff going on with us.
I think there's maybe a couple.
Okay, you got to show. I'm sorry.
No, this is a local elementary school.
This is a Manhattan elementary school. There may be some other parents from this school in the audience. But we got in. Well, no, I just gave it up by saying we. But the parents of this involved in this elementary school got an email from the principal this week asking them to refrain from sending DoorDash to the cafeteria for their children. DoorDash to the cafeteria where there's free lunch for their children. And this is a public school, and it's not a fancy public school. You think this is an Upper East Side private school.
No. This is not a fancy school.
This is a public, not fancy school. And I'm not sure if the offenders were fancy people. I don't know who the offenders were. I know who was
we
doing
don't
it.
Know. There, we don't know anything about this.
Oh, but it's like one person doing it every day, or is it like multiple families?
I know there was a child. Our fifth grader, who's now in sixth grade, said there was a child last year who got McDonald's delivered to him. But
every day, or
then it turned out his mom was the delivery person.
We are going to have to edit this entire thing out of the podcast.
Oh,
but no.
What do you guys think about elementary school?
What's their home address? Do you know? Can we give
what's the social more identifying of the kid details? That got something? So what is it? Yeah.
What do you guys think about this phenomenon that's happening?
I think it's like incredibly twisted. Have you ever even thought to do it ever once in your lives?
No, never.
Also, I'm sorry, but the amount of money it would cost to DoorDash McDonald's, that it would be insane. Four times the amount of McDonald's. I am so cheap. I could never.
People don't care about money anymore. They get everything delivered. It is so crazy.
Regardless,
people just
use
DoorDash constantly.
What is this thing that you're teaching your children that they're like, I want this. You're like, okay. I mean, that's not good.
I was wondering if it's like a special diet, but I'm just okay. Like, American public school lunch is shitty.
It's not.
This school I've heard is good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I'm like, but if you're getting McDonald's, if you're getting some gluten-free shit for your kid, whatever.
It's called pack your lunch. You're allowed to pack your lunch.
I know,
you don't
but I'm like thinking about the one emergency from one kid or something.
We're desperately trying to find a way that this is okay.
I know.
Yeah. The school's sending
and there
an
may be a good reason.
I think one time, but if they're getting McDonald's DoorDashed.
But if it happened one time, you wouldn't have this note.
You would have the email.
Did the parent in the audience use DoorDash?
Name yourself.
I mean, I struggled with people saying like they were like putting their kid in a lift to get somewhere, and they're like, okay, you need help, like you gotta get something. Okay, all right, I can see.
Wow, you don't even like lift.
No, no, but I'm saying like where they were making a habit of it, where they're like, I like this is the thing all the time. But I'm like, okay, but you might not have enough help to get your kids to where they need to go. So okay, I can understand
the
that.
The kid going by themselves, and
you mean instead of the subway?
Right. Yeah. You're like, okay, you might need to get
how
there.
How old are the kids? Who put them?
People were doing this with grade schoolers.
What, preschoolers, damn.
Like,
well,
yes.
Kids in 10 and 11-year-olds ride the subway routinely.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I
think it speaks to our problem with delivery in general. And there's so many people who love to complain about the delivery bikes are out of control, but it's the delivery orderers who are out of control.
It's the demand, just going back to Patrick's
I really point. Think all adults in this audience and beyond listening need to earnestly take a look at how much they get delivered and start changing their lifestyle. I think it's like really out of control, and I think it's actually really messed up.
What was the last thing you got delivered?
I like literally could not tell you.
Okay.
Why would I do it?
Why would I do it?
You just talking about food, or are you saying you don't get packages delivered to you?
I don't get packages delivered to me. I don't use like Amazon or stuff.
Wow.
I did just purchase a little gift on Etsy, so that's something I'm getting delivered to me. But we live in New York City.
But the first thing, but you're white. Your opinion doesn't matter.
I'm the first thing I thought of for the school delivery was delivery system. Like the guy, probably a guy that's like taking this to the school. I'm like, that guy's in danger. Like, if you go to that school and you're like an adult male that does not have a child in that school and they don't know who you are, I'm like, that guy's at risk.
Yeah, I don't think they let them in the door. I think they go outside.
And then they
point them to the cafeteria.
I saw someone
He's going to get stabbed.
Yeah, no, but just like they're like, they're going to freak out.
It's not good for a multitude of
reasons. Yeah, it's a really bad scene.
I saw somebody in my building once get one single Dunkin' Donuts coffee delivered.
Oh my
God. And I thought, that is.
That's out of control.
You better be sick. You better have a contagious
disease.
All right,
well, next time just tell me you saw that. Okay.
Especially because, again, we live in Midtown. There is a Dunkin' Donuts one block away. Wow. I hope your leg is... But if I'm ordering that, I'm getting donuts.
Yeah, I'm getting
making
a dozen.
The minimum.
Also, Dunkin's, really?
Dunkin'. It was Dunkin'.
Wow.
All right, we have time for one more topic here. If we could get up the photo of Fan Man, please. Reading from Gothamist about Fan Man, Jonathan Warren, known for soaring high above the city's waterways in a lightweight fan-powered paraglider, had his day in court this past Saturday, 3 weeks after police arrested him for landing his aircraft at Calvert Vaux Park on Gravesend Bay. The NYPD at the time alleged he parachuted off the Verrazano Narrows Bridge following the New York City Marathon, but Warren said that his flight started and ended at the same park. The felony charge was dropped by the time he appeared in court, but he was sentenced to 4 days of community service. Fan Man says he thinks his aircraft is legal, but authorities say it is not legal to take off from a city park. Fan Man is working to find places where he can legally take off. Are we Team Fan Man?
Yes, yes, yes. Fan Man, the googly eyes, and SantaCon are all a part of the same thing.
I think it's legal. Is that a thing you can say?
He thinks it. Fan Man thinks it's legal. He's looked up that the aircraft regulations.
Is Fan Man
a lawyer?
It's
legal.
Your Honor, I thought it was legal. Is that? Can we do that?
I mean, it is a very like basic contraption. What is illegal about it?
Yeah, it's a parachute and a fan.
I think like New York City doesn't like shit flying in the airspace.
Yeah.
I don't like that's like a law, but like. There's a whatever.
Well, you can't fly a drone. Mostly.
You can't fly a drone because I went to this cruises. I know. Well, yeah, we went to that party. We went to this cruise, had a launch, and they did a drone show. They kept talking about the drone show, the drone show. Bitch, that shit was in fucking Jersey. It was like 2 miles away, and we're looking at the drone show because they couldn't have it, so it was far as fuck. I'm like, I guess that's a sea show? What's going on? China's got us beat, guys. We can't compete. I'm sorry. We're cooked. But yeah, no, Fan Man can't fly.
Yeah, you can't
shit.
Do anything in the air around the
in
city.
New York
but
City.
But I'd rather have Fan Man than a bunch of drones.
But what about
a kite? Drones, you love Fan Man.
What about a kite?
What about kite?
He's not a kite.
He's not in a kite. A kite can't fall on someone and kill them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Fan Man is a problem that's going to solve itself. Like,
go to Westchester. Go to Long Island.
This is not a sustainable thing.
I am pro Fan Man. God bless Fan Man. I think
you
it's a
beautiful
thing.
You want them to leave New York City
parks? But here's my concern is that if this does become legal and there's like 400 Fan Mans, which is like kind of a not cool Fan Man or women. Women can be Fan Women too.
Fanta Con.
There we go.
Sponsored by Fanta.
Not related to the
Spring
beverage.
Smells.
It's not related to the beverage.
Yeah.
Fanta.
Not affiliated.
No.
All right, guys. Yeah. We have to wrap up our show. Let's give it up for our wonderful panel. Patrick, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Oh my God, I'm doing the show right after this.
Oh my God.
If you like improv, stick around.
3-on-3 tournament featuring Patrick. Millie, anything you want to plug?
Yes, check out my podcast, Go Touch Grass. We talk about internet stuff. We read all of the Epstein email. Well, not all of them. We read a lot of them last week on our show. And this week we talked about vertical dramas and how that's the future of entertainment. So please go touch grass everywhere you get your podcasts.
Daniel?
My plug is just actually for the Lower East Side Girls Club. If you get a chance, go to their site, do a donation. They are helping out the community, and you should help them.
Awesome. Amazing.
That's great.
All right. Well, thank you guys all. This has been a wonderful panel.
Thank you.
We are taking the month of December off, but we'll be back with a January show. Follow us on NIMBY_show on Instagram for future shows.
We're going to head across the street to the Winslow Bar afterwards if anyone wants to go have a drink with us. And have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we want to thank UCB for having us. Tyler Walker, who does our theme music. Patrick Keane, Millie Tamarez, and Anil Dash. And ladies and gentlemen, please remember to vote in midterm elections. Good night, everybody.
Woo!